America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Atlanta, it's do or die. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, we start off every day by saying, hey man. Mike Bell, we were just talking amongst ourselves, as we normally do. And you were saying that this was, I use the word anticlimactic or climactic because it played out the way that we had talked about. As much as I was trying to say we need some magic, I don't know what's going to happen, pitching still matters. We've been saying this for the last four postseasons. Now, we were lucky enough to get good enough pitching in 21, and we had the best bullpen, and we won a World Series. But Mike's been saying this. And, you know, as much as I fret every day when I hear him say, we don't have enough pitching, and I'm like, it's going to be okay. Well, here we are again, and all of our hopes and desires are on the shoulders of Max Fried tonight.
Yep, and you know, we were just saying as a kind of a subplot here, this potentially could be Max Fried's last start in the Braves organization. He's going to certainly test the waters in free agency. I'd love to keep him and have him back here, but I think we've all had to kind of wrap our head around how Alex Anthopoulos approaches the big pitching contracts, and he's usually not a guy that's willing to get in that Aaron Nola neighborhood. That's probably where Max Fried's going to be living this offseason. So, yeah, there's a lot of things at stake here. You know, we're just looking for somebody to step up. You know, Matt Olson was 1-for-4 last night. Ozuna's 1-for-4. But just, you got to just tip your cap. Michael King's a really great pitcher.
Yeah, he is.
They got him in the trade with Soto from the Yankees. The Yankees, they had to think about parting with him, and he's been money for these guys.
We didn't have a lot of chances to break through with this guy. We placed two runners on base in the first, two in the third, one in the fourth, and we left them all on.
15 strikeouts for the Padres pitching, 12 for King, 3 for Adam, who came in. So that's, you know, this, look, guys, you've seen the Padres. They've been sniffing around the last couple of years, and they feel really good this year. This, they're shot.
Braves fall 4-0 in game one, game two tonight, and if necessary, tomorrow night they will play. Listen, again, you got to go into this and say, we have nothing to lose, which we don't. Most people didn't think we'd get to into the playoffs to begin with. And then you got there. Now, I don't want to make excuses, Mike, but these guys played, what, 18 innings, 27 innings of baseball in less than four, in a 48-hour period?
Right.
I'm not going to make excuses and say, hey, we would have won last night. But I do think fatigue is a factor. And you guys know this. If you've flown to the West Coast, if you fly to Vegas or the West Coast, it's a grind on you, man. And I don't care if you're flying charter or private. It doesn't matter. That travel still plays a role. And so tonight, what I'm hoping, Mike, is a little bit of rest, a little fresher, and let's not leave these men on base, and hopefully somebody can come up with a couple of knocks.
Yeah, seven men left on base for the Braves, which is surprising when you think about just how dominant Padres pitching was. It's amazing we had those guys to leave on base in the first place. But yeah, I need, and we said this yesterday, Olson, just somebody. You know, Money Harris continues to be the one guy we can say is doing his job. Ozzie was 1-for-4. Obviously, they just couldn't, get these guys, get the Ducks in. But man, just frustrating. The bottom of the lineup, that's the thing. You know, for so many years, the bottom of our lineup was like one of the strengths, right? 7-8-9 always produces. You know, we went a combined 1-4-10 in the bottom of the lineup. So it's just, it's tough, guys, when you're plugging in dudes that are just, they're backups. That's it. You're rolling up against a team that's one of the best teams in Major League Baseball with backups.
Let me hear Brian Snicker. It's Dukes and Bell talking about everybody saying, was it A.J. Smith-Shawver? Listen, he didn't last long, but even then, you look at the job that was done with the pitching staff. The issue has been what all year, guys? We don't score enough runs. It's been our issue all year, and now you see it rear its ugly head in the playoffs. Here's Snit saying this, and who we started wasn't the issue.
We didn't score. We couldn't, you still got to punch back and score. It wasn't who we started. It was just we couldn't get anything going against their starter. We did a good job of limiting damage, and the bullpen did a great job of holding the game there. And like I say, it wasn't because of who we started that we didn't win this game. We couldn't get anything going offensively.
I mean, Money Harris singles to start the game. The San Diego crowd goes totally silent. By the way, it's so West Coast.
It is.
San Diego is so, no disrespect. It's like literally, whoa! So, yeah, unfortunately, you got a leadoff single. and you just can't get anything off of it. And would you like to see Harris try to steal the base there too, by the way?
Oh,
a little
listen,
pressure right from the jump?
At this point, Mike, everything should be on the table.
That's why, I mean, last night, I'm just, go steal the base. You've stolen 10.
Yes.
You've got speed. I know you're not Acuna, but let's put the put them on, you know, let's put some pressure on Santiago. Santiago, as Ron Burgundy would say. But yeah, it's just not on the cards. And again, you get your best chance, Max Fried. Certainly you give yourself a puncher's chance, but I need Matt Olson to be spectacular. I need somebody to really break out tonight, really step up.
404-726-0929. Turtle, let's put a poll up. You like our chances tonight to at least regain this momentum and then potentially win this thing. Listen, again, anything can happen, and it's one game, but tonight is the most important game of the season. Here's Brian Snicker talking about how he feels about Fried being on the hill.
I feel good. I feel, you know what? Again, we got to win tomorrow. It's not about, we don't have to win two in a row. We just got to win tomorrow. So, and I like, we're sitting pretty good with Max Fried on the mound for us tomorrow. And like I say, the bullpen had a day off, which is really good. And we'll, you know, it'll be all hands on deck again tomorrow.
Yeah, man, that first inning, I think that was our best chance.
I agree.
Before, you know, before the kid settled in, if you don't remember, guys, we talked about Harris singles. Ozzie strikes out. By the way, low strike zone early. The sinker, they were calling the sinker out of the zone. Look, Matt Olson is like 6'5". I don't expect him to swing at something at his ankles. But and their catcher does an amazing job of framing the pitches. If you saw it, I mean, it's textbook on how he's framing that stuff. So, again, first and third, and we can't push a run across because Soler strikes out swinging. And if we're honest, that was our best shot.
I agree. You got to take away the crowd, first of all, as you mentioned, in the first or second inning. When you have chances to score in these playoff games, we know. We've seen it time and time again, Braves fans. Braves country, you know the deal. Here's the other part about this. Tatis showed you how good he was, right? That was a 94-mile-per-hour fastball. I mean, he threw that. And Tatis was looking for it. He talked about it after the game, saying he was looking to chase a fastball. He went and got that thing and knocked it out of the park 415 feet. I just look at that lineup, Mike, and we said it yesterday. This is dangerous. Fried is going to have to be Fried, playoff Fried, like
right.
When we've seen him at his best, because this lineup is one of the best in the league. And so when you talk about World Series-type lineups, how long it is, how you got to pitch to everybody, he's going to have to be very strategic tonight in his approach.
I know that, you know, as a fan, it's been an amazing run. We said, you know, we talked about it yesterday. It was great just the fact to make it. But then once you're in it, you know, there's no consolation. You know, if they get swept in a best of three, we're all sitting here like,
yep,
okay, it came to nothing. And even now, I don't think there's fans who appreciate how great it was. But Braves fans are so sick of this because they've seen this for so many decades. You know, this is one year that it's a different storyline. You just got decimated by injuries. There's no way this team ever should even sniff the playoffs. But now you're in it, as you said. You want to do something.
You gotta do
don't
something.
Go out with a whimper. Don't tell me we're going to go out without scoring a run in this thing, right?
Yeah, I agree, Mike. I mean, like I don't want to get shut out again. Polls up at Dukes of Bell 929. Winner take all. What do you think tonight? How do you feel about our chances? Yes, Free dominates. No, season's over. You can go vote Dukes and Bell 929 on Twitter. We do not call it X. Coming up, we got a big show of guests today. Josh Kendall's going to join us. He writes for The Athletic about our Falcons. We're going to get his take about this game tomorrow. By the way, Mike and I tomorrow will be broadcasting live from Signia by Hilton, 2 to 4. We'll get your day started as we lead into all the pregame festivities with the Falcons and Bucks. Also, Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to stop by. He is an Odyssey MLB insider, but he also calls games for San Diego.
Knows the team well.
Yeah, and so we're going to get his opinion on this. And, you know, what does he think that we need to do? And is it, in his mind, this is a team that a lot of people are talking about the World Series. We'll get his opinions on that. You'll hear from Chris Lindstrom today, who joined Andy and Randy, and also Coach Ra. Mike, as we mentioned, timing this week, practice change. So the guys were up there, and they had a great interview with Coach Raheem Morris. You will hear that.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The 5 o'clock hour and the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley. We're doing it a day early because Thursday we got Thursday Night Football and Mike and I only have a short show. So we're going to grab Barbara to talk about Auburn and what did she think about the Alabama game. I told you we got a bunch of guests. Stay here. A lot to get to. When we come back, the latest on the Falcons injuries and a guy that was just named Player of the Week. won't be out there tomorrow night. It's Dukes and Bell. Dun, dun, dun. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, quick reminder, Friday, we're at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Come join us, all right? Pre-game party before Kennesaw takes on Jacksonville State. That's at the stadium there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, New Realm Brewing Company, official craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics, is going to be at that location as well, doing a lot of different stuff. The Hazy IPA, along with Kennesaw State's Owl Lager.
Nice.
They've got some other stuff that they'll have there. So come on out, man, and join us. Just a quick reminder, that's Friday. Tomorrow we're at Signia. So I know a lot's going on, and then with the Falcons, hopefully the Braves are able to find a way to get it done tonight, Mike, and we live to see another day.
Hopefully we'll be celebrating a Falcon victory, and then we'll get ready for can I still say action at the Fraction at Fifth Third Bank for Kennesaw football? So, yeah, man, so that'd be a fun time on a Friday, and hopefully we are talking about beating these Bucks. And as you teased, we do have some injury news about these Birds.
Yeah, man, Troy Anderson was Defensive Player of the Week, and rightfully so. I mean, this dude was all over the field last Sunday. He has been officially ruled out for Thursday night.
I know this isn't a long-term injury, but it just, you know, I don't want to say he can't catch a break because last year, he missed the season, but dude just has the best day of his life in the NFL and he's got to miss the following week.
It's funny because everybody, the reason we drafted him was because of his speed.
Pure athleticism, right?
Sideline to sideline. And everybody was freaking out when he got that pick. And it was like, he just ran away from Olave. Yeah, he's pretty fast. That's why we got him. We just hadn't been able to see it consistently, Mike, the last few years because of the injuries. But I think you got a sense of it. The crazy thing for me was with Anderson at the beginning of that game, I felt like, and I said this Monday, he was taking some bad angles. It was like he wasn't playing or in the position he needed to be in. And then all of a sudden, he's in on all these tackles, and then boom, the pick six happens, and he's just everywhere. But great game for him, but he will not be available tomorrow. Speaking of our Falcons, guys, as we mentioned, Andy and Randy were up there today. We'll hear from Coach Ra coming up a little bit later on. They also talked to Chris Lindstrom, Mike. But the bottom line for us is, look, if we do not get more consistent, and this is just simple math, on third downs, if we don't get more plays, more series, we don't get Kyle Pitts involved, this thing's never going to look like it should.
No. And the only way, guys, it's the ultimate chicken and the egg. I mean, the only way you get to see more of your favorite players on offense is your offense keeps churning first downs, converting third downs, not being stuck in these third and long, second and long. I mean, you guys know football. It's not that complicated, okay? You get 3 or 4 yards, 5 yards on that first play, then you're on schedule. If not, now Kirk Cousins becomes a sitting duck against a really aggressive defense, even though I have some guys that are banged up. Talked to Rick Stroud yesterday. There's 15 guys listed on the Bucs injury report for this week.
That's a lot. I mean, it just is. But that's a talented team, man, and they're going to come in here. Baker's playing well, as we talked about.
Vita Vea, we're going to replay our conversation with Rick tomorrow as part of the pregame, but Rick was saying Vita Vea kind of thinned down. I mean, he's kind of been known as the Kool-Aid man for busting through and doing the job, but he's always kind of an immovable object when it comes to trying to set your tone on offense.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Find us, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 92.9. Follow this radio station at 92.9 The Game. Big O's behind the glass. Our engineer and Turtle is our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines. Let's start with the Falcons because Grady Jarrett was saying, hey, we're doing a really good job of limiting these explosive plays. That is why this defense has been able to do what they've done. Again, bend don't break, man. Teams are going to score in the NFL on you. But when you need to get off the field, Mike, they've done a really good job of doing that. Here's Grady Jarrett.
I think it could be a part of it for sure. You definitely don't want to be on a defense that's giving up a lot of explosive plays. I think there are some plays under that 20-yard mark or whatever the cutoff is that we can get a lot better in. And that's kind of what we focus on, finding the things where we can get better and want to cut out some of those 6-7 yard chunk. You know what I'm saying? Something here and there, because at the end of the day, if you give up 6-7 on first down, it make the other calls easier for the coordinator going against us. So,
yeah, I mean, that's he's exactly right. But those big 20, 25, 30, 35-yard plays or more, I mean, those are the ones, man, that come back to bite you. And they've done a really good job of limiting those kinds of big explosive plays.
Yep. And I know that, the corners, we've talked so much and we've fretted about our defensive backs. And they've actually done a nice job. We talked about the job Michael Hughes has done for us. But still, you've got to get heat. You know, I mean, I think I heard Andy and Randy asking Coach Rob about it. You're going to hear that interview replay. Still got to get Judon some help. You know, and you got to find it. Are you going to develop it through blitzing? I mean, who? When do I see Rukuroro? Because I've been told he can't get on the field. No one's getting in front of him. He's getting sacks. When's he getting on the field? I mean, just curious. Guy's a second-round pick. Hasn't seen any action yet, man.
It's a valid point. And Coach said, no, he's good. He's healthy. He's fine. He told us that 2 weeks ago. So you're right. At some point, hopefully these guys get unleashed. Meanwhile, on the offensive side, as the Falcons get ready for the Bucs tomorrow, by the way, our coverage right after Mike and I get done, starting at 4 o'clock, John Freaky, Joe Patrick with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, leading you into Falcons pregame as well. Here's Zach Robinson, our OC, Mike, talking about what we need to do.
Yeah, it's difficult because the biggest thing you got to do in this league is score points, and we're not scoring enough points. Our defense is doing a great job. We are just not scoring enough points, and so that's going to be continued emphasis on our side, what we can do to make sure we're maximizing drives, punching the ball in the end zone. When we get down in there, we got to score touchdowns, and so that's something we're constantly talking about. We got red zone day tomorrow. That'll be a big emphasis again tomorrow.
Okay,
that's today. Because the game's tomorrow. It's usually, you know, Thursday, depending on a Sunday game. But today. Here's the deal, though, guys. Why have we with success, okay, think about it. The two drives, Mike, Chiefs, first drive of the game, we go down and score, right?
Best drive of the season.
I totally agree with that. Why is it that we can't replicate that? And I'm not saying calling the same plays. But you come out and you know what you want to do, and then all of a sudden, is it that we're going away from it? Because you're having success in these first drives, at least getting scoring opportunities. We haven't always scored, but that was the best one of the season.
I think we've looked pretty good on our first drives. Remember the first game of the season against the Steelers? We went down the field, and we got the penalty.
That's right.
And then Bijan got just a shoestring tackle to save. It was a screen play. We would have scored on that. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to get we'll get a chance, hopefully, in the next few weeks to talk to Zach Robinson, you know, one-on-one or two-on-one. Pow, pow, good cop, bad cop. But no, the idea is, are you better on the scripted plays and less when you've got this kind of counterpunch?
Yeah, because I'm going to say, Mike says he doesn't know what kind of offense you're running right now.
Now, what kind of stuff are you trying to hustle here? Bijan Robinson, limited participation with that hamstring. We talked about that. That was, you know, a concern. So I got no problem with more of Algier, by the way, in this offense.
Either.
And I don't think the fans do either. And part of every good NFL team has got to have good depth at running back. And this isn't a knock or trying to make this about Tyler versus Bijan, their boys. By the way, remember last this camp this summer, you and I were waiting to talk to Tyler Algier, and you're like, man, how many balls is he going to catch out of the jugs machine? Foom, foom,
yes.
Foom. Well, it paid off because he had a couple of catches, big catches for some yardage in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, even bro was making us wait. And I'm like, Tyler! We're over here.
Right, but now you know why.
Yeah. No, he puts in the work, man. Seriously. I'm with you. Again, I don't know if it'll ever be equal. Mm. I just think it's a feel. Like in that fourth quarter, Mike, when he was running the ball, leave him in there.
It's the thing we always talked about from the 16th season. Shanahan always kind of knew, hey, let Free go. Let Coleman go. And then, you know, in 17, Sark didn't have that kind of same intuition when it was Free's time or when it was Coleman's time. I guess it's intuitive. Either way, I think it's just the eye test. Algier was hitting that pile and moving it every time.
No doubt about it. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Braves back at it tonight. It is going to be Max Fried, guys. And again, everybody feels good about this because we've seen Max Fried in these big moments in the playoffs come through. Can he do it again? And that's really what this comes down to. I don't need – okay, he can pitch a shutout, but I don't need that, Mike. I just need him – again, if we can't score one run, then we don't deserve to win. You know what I mean? If we can't score two runs, we don't deserve to win.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you've been watching this team, they sort of come in bunches and you don't get to kind of bank them. And there's times where this team just looks like a team that is kind of top-heavy. You got three or four real stars in Ozzie Albies. Azuna's been a guy who's been all season, been the man. And, you know, Olsen certainly, but Monty Harris. Monty Harris has been the best guy since he came back from the injury. The rest of these guys, it really is a 1-4 shot. It just is. They're not clutch. That's why they're backups. And that's why we just gotta kinda hope that they catch some magic and maybe you hope that Musgrave gets, I don't know, a little funky tonight and Max Fried is dialed in. By the way, too hyped to say this is Max Fried's last start as a Brave?
No. You know, you and I have had this discussion off and on probably since, I don't know, the middle of the season, maybe probably, you know, 2 months in. And for those of you who didn't hear those conversations and just taking you back,
right.
I was adamant about you have to, just like the Falcons, you have to have future vision. You have to be thinking about what this rotation is going to be. My concern was Morton continues to get older, right? Mm-hmm. Some point he's going to say, I'm done, or they're going to say they're done. You look at signing Chris Sale. They extended him when he got here. That's going to pay off great. And then you look at all these other guys that we've talked about, and there's just a lot. It's like yesterday with the start. Who can we start? And you start looking at the list of names, right? And you start saying, okay, yay, nay, maybe, I don't like right. that. He's not that good. That's what this rotation is going to look like. And I said, nobody expected Ronaldo to be as right. good as he has been this year. So you're telling me right now, Mike, as we get all these guys back in, you know, the everyday guys, you got two legitimate starters that you feel comfortable about?
Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, Spencer Schwellenbach could be the third.
He will.
Morton's gone. I can't believe I can't imagine they're rolling Morton back again. I just can't see that.
You could use that money for someone who's younger and more viable at this point in their career.
And I know that Alex is hesitant to kind of spend the big, big money on it. Unless Fried tests, the thing is, there's always a market for pitching a guy of Max Fried's caliber, even though we're a little maybe too close to it with some of his injury history the last 2 or 3 years. I just think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to be in the neighborhood of $175 million or more, and I don't think we're going to match it. Right. But then again, Ian Anderson coming back. A.J. Smith-Shawver, part of the reason they made him go to San Diego is they believe in him with his velocity and his four pitches, and eventually he's still a young guy. But still, you know, I don't know where all those, to your point, where all those innings being eaten are coming from.
Okay, and here's my other issue with all of that. All those guys are fine, but your core is ready to win now. That's Ozzy.
Right.
That's Acuna. That's Harris.
Salaries are going up, by the way.
That's Olsen.
Payrolls are going up.
That's Riley. All those guys who you locked up long-term are ready to win now. And the only way you do that, Mike, is supplement that lineup with quality pitching. You do what other teams have done. You do what the Padres have done. You got to go spend some money and go get three guys who can really pitch. And that has been my issue. So I said, well, you don't have to do that if you keep Fried. And Mike has always been saying, listen, they're not going to keep him. Mm. Well, they should have already signed him. And I'll be shocked as anybody if a deal gets done. But, Mike, if it does, you know what it tells me? Fried took less than he should have. Because there's no way that at this point the Braves are going to offer him the market value what he should get. And that means if he wants to be here, here's what we have, and he's willing to accept it.
Before options are picked up and money is moved around and, you know, some guys are off the roster, right now going into 2025, Philly is the number one team payroll. The Braves coming at number two and the Yankees are third. Just to give you some perspective, we're actually bigger than the Dodgers going into next year.
All those escalating salaries.
Bingo.
It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com for all of your needs. All right, we're coming back.
By the way, guys, it's Mike. You forgot Strider on purpose. I don't know what Strider's going to be.
That wasn't
a Freudian slip, but just like I don't know. You guys assume Acuna's going to come back and be a 330 hitter?
Yeah, Strider is not going to be your opening day starter. Nobody can tell me he's going to be the opening day starter.
It's two
tomorrow.
Tommy Johns now, or Tommy John and a half on Spencer Strider.
I got my fingers crossed, but that ship has also kind of, it's just out there. This is why I say you got to have some forward thinking. All right, we'll see what happens. But Fried has a chance tonight to prove his value once again, and we hope he does. Josh Kendall's going to join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk to a guy who covers our Atlanta Falcons every day, Josh Kendall for The Athletic. Josh, it's always good to have you on. Thursday Night Football. Bucks in town. Tell us what you think about what's going on with this offense, and specifically the usage of, or lack thereof, of Kyle Pitts. How much is that playing a role, or is it, in your opinion, not playing a role, and this offense has just been inept, and we're not able to do some of the things we want to do?
Well, I think if you take the charitable view of it, this is still a group that's pretty brand new together. The offensive coordinator, the quarterback are both in town for the first time. Darnell Mooney is new. Rhett McLeod is new. So they're trying to get all the pieces, get all sort of the bumps worked out. And, you know, that's the way that they explain it, that there are some things, you know, just communication, getting on the same page, the time on task that Kirk Cousins has talked about since OTAs, that once that they smooth some of that out, they'll be rolling. We'll see. Only time will tell if that's really the issue. I mean, I don't know. The Kyle Pitts question is valid, but I don't think that it's what's bogging down the offense. I mean, you got plenty of other. You paid Darnell Mooney a good amount of money. You've got Drake London, the top 10 pick. You've got Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. You paid your quarterback $100+ million. You can't just say this is all Kyle Pitts' fault by any stretch of the imagination. I think that everybody is involved in this.
And you touched on it, Josh, reading the article today about, I found it interesting, one of the things that Zach Robinson said about Kyle Pitts, saying, you know, that he's got to be detail-oriented. The more detail-oriented he can be and play as fast as he can, the ball is naturally just going to find him. So is that, I mean, is that a backwards, a backwards way of saying he's going to be better at running his routes and doing all the things that's going to keep him out there?
And he's got to be better at everything. Yeah, I mean, I think it's clearly a coaching point. And I wouldn't think that they would be given coaching points publicly unless they'd given them privately and, you know, several times and didn't think that there was progress, enough progress being made. So I think that you have to read between the lines a little bit when they're not, you're not getting direct answers and the issue is so obvious. So I think, yeah, I think that they want more from Kyle Pitts. Doesn't mean it's all on Kyle Pitts for sure. But this is the second staff now that it in the third year in a row where, you know, it's just not clicking. So it's not all on Kyle Pitts, but some of it is.
We're talking with Josh Kendall, guys. He writes for The Athletic, covers our Falcons, Falcons-Bucks tomorrow. All right, so defensively, it's the one thing, right, we're hanging our hat on and saying, hey, we're playing really well. But where do you think, you know, obviously we're stopping the run. We didn't do a good job. I think we're giving up 145 on average. What do you think they need to do there to shore the run game, stopping the run game?
Well, I'm not sure that they're going to ever, quote-unquote, stop the run game. I mean, it's through four games, it's pretty clear what they're going to do. They're going to take away explosive plays. They give up a 8.5% explosive play rate. It's the second best in the league. They're going to play Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons back and count on them to take care of everything over the top. And when you play that well, you're going to have to give up some yards in the run game. And, you know, I think 2024 defense, that's how most people are playing. It's not how Brian Flores is playing, but it's how most people are playing.
Right.
And it's worked for this group. So I don't know that you can say they need to be more dynamic. They need to, you know, get more pressure on the passer or whatever. Whatever our critiques are, so far it's working this way in terms of keeping opponents out of the end zone and off the scoreboard enough, at least. And I think this is just the way they're going to play.
And is that why we haven't seen like guys like Ruka Rowe back on the field? I mean, I know that we draft. I don't know. I'm not trying to quibble with you because obviously we are doing good things on defense. We're holding guys to field goals, but usually a second round draft pick is assuming he's going to be an impact dude.
Yeah, that's not the. I don't think Ruka Rowe is going to change the way they play defensively or improve the run defense. They feel good about the veteran defensive interior players they've got there. Now you could see Rook and Brandon be activated this week because they are on a short week. Mm-hmm. Maybe they use that as a reason to rotate those guys in and let some of the older guys rest more. But the plan right now appears to be to essentially redshirt Rook Aurora and Brandon Dorlas. And again, that's one of those things that we won't know whether that's the right plan or not for a while down the road.
What do you think about our run game? We saw Tyler Allgeier really come on. Bijan has had his moments. Mike and I talk about this balance that, you know, the coordinator has to have in Zach Robinson and running those guys and knowing when to leave them in, when to take them out. What do you think about the run game, Josh?
I think it's good, not great. I mean, I think that they would really benefit from a few more explosive runs, big runs.
Yep.
You know, you don't see this team have a, you know, like a Saquon Barkley, like bust a 50 or 60 yarder. Everything is really hard for this offense right now because they don't get enough explosive plays in the pass game or the run game. So I think that they've got the ability with that offensive line and those two backs to hit some big runs, and they need to start doing that. Otherwise, I think the run game is fine. I'd never mind seeing more Tyler Allgeier. I'm a big Tyler Allgeier guy. But I understand that that means less of Bijan Robinson, which is not great either.
It is Josh Kendall, guys, in The Athletic, and you can read him every day. Talk about the Falcons here on the Wade4.com hotline. We heard Coach Ra tell the media, and we've heard everybody say that, you know, Kirk's okay now. Do you feel that Kirk is still 100%? I mean, is Kirk 100% like he was right before he had that Achilles injury last year? Or you still think that's a work in progress?
I think his Achilles is fine. I think he's physically 100% healthy. I don't think he's 100% comfortable yet because of what we talked about earlier, right? Just the time on task with these guys and playing with these guys. I don't think the Achilles is an issue. I think we all made too much of that week one. It's not an Achilles issue. It's an other stuff issue.
So between the ears issue, kind of then?
No, I don't even know. I don't know that I'm saying that. It's just a comfortability. It's just a reps with this group. It's just getting on the same page. I mean, you know, the same page, a difference in a yard is a huge difference in terms of where somebody's going to be on their route.
Right.
It's that kind of stuff. It's just reps.
What concerns you about the Bucks as they come in here for Thursday Night Football?
I mean, Baker's really hot. Mike Evans is a great player. That Bucky Irvin kid can hit a long one on you every now and then. I mean, it's going to be a close game. If the Falcons win it, it's going to be a really close game. So you've just got to not let Mike Evans and the new running back hit a big play on you that puts you in a hole. I think those are the things that you've got to be nervous about, you know, once you kick off.
The team itself, you know, we know that we got to score more points. You just covered, you know, gay offense, hopefully, you know, getting a flow. Do you like how Zach Robinson is calling these games?
I think it's fine. I mean, it could always be better. He's, you know, the offense is a problem right now, so everybody's part of that problem. I'm not smart enough to sit here and tell you he should have called X, Y, or Z on 3rd-8. They seem to be getting guys open. They hit some plays. They're called back by penalties. It's just so many things. I'm not ready to sort of put a grade on Zach Robinson.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is early, and I agree with you about this continuity thing and still trying to figure it out as far as, you know, Cousins and the calls at work or what they feel comfortable with, their go-tos, etc. Josh Kendall joining us, guys, talking about the Falcons and Bucks and what's going on up there at Flowery Branch. Matthew Judon, did you think he would be more productive as far as getting through the quarterback? I know we just discussed the defensive strategy, but there have been plays where you just let him loose and he gets after it. He does have one. He's got the tip ball to force the interception, the pick six last week. Did you expect more from him at this point?
Maybe a little, but again, I think we go back to the way that they're playing. His pressure rate, I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. It's about what you would expect from a guy like him at this point in his career. I don't think he's – I certainly don't think he's washed up. I think he's playing pretty well. But they're not unleashing guys a lot. They're not just getting after the quarterback a lot. So I don't think his sack numbers are going to be – I don't think we're going to see him have another 12 or 15 sack season if they keep playing the way that they're playing.
Talking with Josh Kendall about the Falcons, and, you know, it's just frustrating because we thought, yeah, everybody thinks, Josh, it's going to be like a Madden game and we're all going to hit the ground running. But do you see this offense getting to the point? I mean, as you said, as the feel and the vibe kind of comes around – that we will be one of those elite offenses where we are going to be similar to 16, scoring a lot of points, and the defense will be good enough to make a run.
Do I see him getting to be the 16 offense? No, I don't ever see him. I don't ever see him getting to that point this season. That's one of the, you know, statistically top 10 offenses in the league in a long time, maybe right. Maybe ever. They're not going to be that. They need to get better, and they can get better. I think there's certainly room for them to get better. And the way the defense is playing, they don't necessarily need to be that 16 offense for this team to win the NFC South and make the playoffs. They need to be leaps, two or three good full steps forward better on offense. But they still have limitations in terms of, you know, an explosive guy down the field to take the top off the defense. Darnell Mooney's kind of that, but not exactly. Yeah, folks should not expect Matt Ryan and the Matt Ryan, Kyle Shanahan, Julio Jones offense to be walking through that door.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was special. Maybe we took it for granted when we witnessed it. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speaking of Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell? What do you think about his production? I think he leads the team in receptions. I think he's played a bigger role than most people expected when he got here.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty good. Kirk Cousins, throughout his career, especially of late, as he's been more productive, is going to be a guy who goes where the offense takes him. He is not going to be necessarily a guy who just feeds one player. He's going to go through the progressions. He's going to throw it to the empty spot. He's not really looking at your jersey number. And right now, Darnell Mooney is the guy who's getting himself in position to get those passes most often. If he continues to be that, he'll lead this team in receptions. He'll be ahead of Drake London. He'll certainly be ahead of Kyle Pitts. That'll be a little bit of a surprise, but it won't be shocking to me if that's the way the season ends out. Kirk is just going to go through the reads and throw the ball to the first guy he sees open.
See the Falcons doing anything to augment the roster aside from what we've already done?
You want to go after Adams?
No, I mean, they can't do that, Carl. We can't no money. But, I mean, yes, can we go after Adams?
I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, you have to give – obviously, they want draft equity. They want to get a second-round pick for him, but he's 31. I mean, I wouldn't do that. But, I mean, it is intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get him for a third and see what happens, maybe I could see him dipping their toe into it. But they've put so many resources into it. I mean, they can't just keep finding a new player and saying that's going to fix everything. They've sort of got to just work with what they've got. They've added plenty. It should not take adding another player to get this offense going. They've done a lot.
Right.
It should work.
Yeah.
if the guys work. Mm-hmm. Hey, appreciate you stopping by as always, man. We love your stuff. Read him, guys, in The Athletic. And Josh, we'll see you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Yeah, remember, guys, we did lose Rondale Moore preseason. That was another one of the pieces. But, but again, he was, again, more considered a slot guy. He's 5'7". You know, it's almost like you want the classic taller bookend opposite Drake London.
Yes. I agree. All right, we got plenty more to get to. NFL Blitz is on the way. Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to stop by. Odyssey MLB Insider, host on 97.3, The Fan to San Diego. He calls games as well, and we will get his opinion on tonight and what should happen with our Braves. It's all on the way in the 3 o'clock hour. Again, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave Store this season at mancavestore.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.